don't stop off. Rock, go, rock, go, rock. Freak, don't stop off. Rock, go, rock, go, rock. Freak, don't stop off. Rock, go, rock, go, rock. Freak, don't stop off. Group of them balling up Wednesday night. Group of them balling up Wednesday night. Group of that balling up Wednesday night. Super Tyrese Campbell.
That was Sean Needham, and this is the Sheffield United Hodcast. I'm Matt, and here is the Frank Magnet to my Tony Steele. It's Johnny. So, tonight we're going to talk about the Hull game. United have lost again. We'll review the match. Johnny's going to do his player ratings. We're going to talk through United's international window priorities, and I'm sure Johnny will offer his opinion on having a break in the season for England to have two friendlies. And then we'll preview the Watford match. How does that sound to you, Johnny?
Yeah, let's go for it.
So, we played Hull on Saturday. United lined up again with the disputed back three with two wing-backs. This time it was McCallum and Ogbeni. We made a couple of changes to the side that had lost to Southampton in the week. So we've gone Cooper in goal. Tanganga, again, at that right centre-half. McGuinness in the centre. Me, left centre-back. McCallum came in for Burrows, who's been woefully out of form. We'll talk a little bit more about Burrows in a bit. Matos and Peck, because obviously I think playing two games in the space of 5 days would be a bit much for Tom Davies on his return from injury. Peck partnered Matos in the middle. Ogbeni, right wing back. Then Hamer and O'Hare were floating behind Tyrese Campbell. Any initial thoughts, Johnny, on the lineup or the whole match before we go through the action that went off in the game?
Yeah, I think you pretty much covered it in terms of Davies not being selected. I think it's time Ogbeni was taken out, but we'll cover that when we go through player ratings. And the only real contentious one is Matos coming in for Davies instead of Samari, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've heard it said on a couple of the other channels. I think they were on about it on Blades Ramble. They'd obviously listened to us. And they were talking about Samari potentially being offloaded in January because it's looking like he's not really fancied by Wilder as well as Sayers before. So this was a bit of a strange game. And I think when you and I were chatting the other morning on the phone, we'd said it felt like, again, one of the poorer games last season, but this time the luck's gone against us slightly rather than going with us. So United started off okay again. Aimer fizzed a free kick over the bar inside 10 minutes. Peck missed a decent header from a Hamer delivery on a free kick as well. To be honest, he should have hit the target. He was about 6 yards out and unmarked, headed it over the bar. United's big chance then in the first half. Hamer cuts inside from the left, smashes one against the post with his left foot. And this is where, again, it felt a bit like last season, because those chances last season went in. This season, they're hitting the inside of the post and coming back out. The biggest moment of the first half then happens because Akintola scores for Hull. It's an absolutely horrendous goal, and it's very, very fortunate for Hull, because the deflection from Ogbeni is, well, ridiculous. I mean, to be honest, the shot was going to come through top of Martelli. It was that far away from goal. And he smashed it. It's hit Ogbeni in the hand. He starts appealing straight away for a penalty, and then realises it's deflected into the far corner of the goal. I've seen a few people as well criticising Sam McCallum in the build-up to this one. What did you reckon about Hull's goal?
Yeah, I think it's just a switch of play, isn't it? And McCallum's sort of out of position. And yeah, the cross isn't defended very good at all. Say we've got three centre-halves in there.
Yep.
It's not very well defended. They only have one man between them to really mark in the box, the three centre-halves, and that's McBurney.
Yep.
Then you've got Akintola at the back stick, who Ogbeni's just got to pick up. He doesn't get tight.
Nope.
He's 2 yards off him. And then, like I say, the problem with what Ogbeni does is he gets to him late and then turns his back on it. If you don't turn your back, just take one for the team, let it hit you in face, let it hit you in chest. If you don't turn his back, he gets a blocking. So it's just a poor goal, really. And it sums up, like you said, that change of look where last season that it's the defender and goes over the bar or straight into Cooper's hands, whereas this year it's just flown in.
Oh yeah, and to, it was going. I watched it back again. His shot's going nowhere near the net at all. It's an awful effort, and ends up nestling in. So second half gets underway. Ben Mee makes an awful error, and our blushes are spared. His blushes are spared because McBurney doesn't score. Drills it straight at Cooper from the edge of the box. Hamer had another good effort from distance. Keeper, to be honest, kind of spills it a little bit. Possibly could have caught that one, but it's not a bad effort from distance. Only contentious moment really for me. I thought the referee had quite a good game. And I know friend of the pod Lee Starbuck says that this referee's not very good. But I thought he had quite a good game. And but there was the Campbell potential penalty. Is it Charlie Hughes touches him just inside the box? You thought it was a penalty, didn't you, straight away?
Yeah, it's a definite penalty. I mean, for as much as we don't like VAR, but if VAR's there, it's given, isn't it? It's given as a pen. So
Well,
it was a pen, and yeah.
there's not a lot of contact on Campbell, is there? But it is enough to just trip him up. He steps on his foot, doesn't he? Then United huff and puff a lot. Don't get very far. But then on the 85th minute, there's a massive scramble, and I don't know how we don't score. Three or four players all swinging at it and missing.
So
Tanganga lands on the floor. Go on.
if you notice in that scramble, I've seen it a couple of times, how slow is Cannon to react?
Yeah.
He's got, as a goal scorer, if you're Billy Sharp in there, you're tapping that in. But he just doesn't react. He's not great, which goes with not playing a lot of football, I guess, but
Yeah. Well, it does when you're a bit rusty. You know, this is what happens, isn't it? So there's that big scramble, and then it's within a minute. Is it Semi Ajayi, who used to play for West Brom, makes the ridiculous decision to rake his studs all the way down the back of Danny Ings's leg to bring him down, and we get a penalty. Again, I've heard it debated on a lot of the different channels about who should take the penalty. Logically, Burrows is on the pitch at this point. He's your penalty taker. He hasn't missed one for us before. Yes, he's out of form, but as the penalty taker who scored all of his penalties for the team, he has to take it. He takes it, and it's awful. I think we could have ran from Sheffield to Hull and got down and saved that with how poor and weak the penalty was. What's your opinion on Burrows on the penalty?
don't get me wrong, it's an absolute stinking penalty, and he didn't look confident when he stepped up. I think every other penalty he's taken, he's hit it hard into the other corner, hasn't he, nearly. So there was no conviction behind it. I don't agree with where people are saying he's out of form, he shouldn't be taking it, because name me a player that's in form.
No, exactly. Yeah, no, I agree. I agree.
And if, say, give it to, I've seen somebody saying give it to Cannon. That what would that do? Because if he misses that, it's over, and it's biggest scapegoat in club history.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone, and then others have said, let Aimer take it. But again, if Aimer misses that, it'll be he's not bothered, he's not interested. So Burrows, it was the right choice to take it. But he's a professional footballer, he should be scoring, or at least putting some power behind it.
Yeah, he should. And you're right, Johnny. It's one of those things, isn't it, where if Burrows doesn't take it, someone else takes it and misses, then all of a sudden, why on earth is our main penalty taker not taking the penalty? But because he has been woeful this season as Burrows, I know there was a stat doing the rounds the other day that actually is his passing stats and his creation of chances and stuff and balls into the box and successful crosses and things has been quite positive. anyone watching, he's failing the eye test, isn't he, every week. He doesn't look good, and his defending has just been dreadful, absolutely dreadful.
He doesn't look good, but the other issue is, which we touched on last show, was down that left hand side. Hamer's not in form either,
No,
so
you're right.
Burrow's not being in form is not helping Hamer's game, and Hamer not being in form is not helping Burrow's game. So, and they're both confidence players, aren't they? So when the team's playing well and thriving, and they're in a purple patch, they seem to come out of the shell, but at the minute they're just like two beaten dogs, aren't they?
Oh, they are, yeah. I mean, before we jump into your player ratings, if you look at the stats from this game, it's incredibly one-sided in favour of United. I mean, the XG is 1.96. Now, obviously, that's because of the penalty, which distorts the figure, but it's still taking the penalty out, double what Hull created. We had twice as many shots. We also had five block shots on to their one, 62% of possession, and we had nine corners. So, in every department, United had dominated this one, but again, had failed to score. So I think what we'll do now, Johnny, if it's all right with you, we'll jump into your player ratings, and then we'll talk about what next and whether or not we need to look at tweaking the tactics over the international window. How's that sound?
Yeah.
Go on then. You want to run us through the team?
So obviously Cooper was in goal. He had nothing to do. Let's be
No.
honest. He didn't have anything to do where he could look shaky like he has done in a couple of occasions. He just had nothing to do. I've given him a five because he's had nothing to do, so he's bog standard. Tanganga, McGuinness, and me, all three of those would get a five.
Okay.
He couldn't choose much between them. Me made a mistake. Tanganga doesn't look fluid in going forward to me at that right centre half. I know we're not an attacking overlapping centre backs, but Tanganga at right centre back and me at left centre back aren't going to get forward enough for that fluid formation.
It's surprising though with Tanganga because he played fullback, didn't he, for Spurs? So
He
you'd
did, but
think he'd have a little bit more nous at going forward.
if you look at the Tanganga that played fullback at Spurs, he's nearly double the size in terms of broadness now.
Well, yeah. Yeah,
He's
he's a lot older, isn't
a lot wider, isn't he? He's filled out. He's
he?
and he's a centre half. He's a right-sided centre half. So yeah. So back three, we get a five. Give McCallum a five.
All right.
He looked okay. He did look okay, but again, he drops down a point because of not covering himself in glory for the goal. He's got to get out there and close that gap quicker, because the thing that's annoying me there is you know Hull's threat is McBurnie in the air. So get out there and stop that cross. We haven't done it. Three players are occupying McBurnie, three centre halves are around him. So it leaves Ogbeni at back post with their left winger. So if we stop the cross, get a block in, then they don't score, do they? So yeah, McCallum should do better for
What did you make to McCallum's forward play? Because obviously, a few of the articles and stuff have said how well McCallum played, but
Yeah,
then he don't create anywhere near the chances that Burrows creates, does he?
he doesn't create what Burrows creates, but he seems to bring a bit more energy to me. And he doesn't sulk as much as Burrows. If you notice Burrows, when he gets ball away, he don't half sulk. So yeah, but I thought it was steady enough, but I've given him a five. Matos and Peck, again, everybody's getting five so far because what's Matos done in the game? Did you notice? He was the one who I didn't actually really notice him playing. Matos. I would have gone to Mari, but like we touched on it already, he's not fancied in there.
No.
Peck was okay. Was okay. He's got to score that header.
Oh, he does, yeah. He has to score the header.
He's got to score that header, which can change game. That can change your game. He doesn't offer enough attacking wise, City Peck.
No. No, he
You know,
doesn't.
he's not an attacking midfielder, he's not prolific, but again, it comes back to what we've touched on in many shows previous, where his goals contributions is zero. That's assists or actually scoring. So I can get off a five for the next one. So, and it's not positive. It's Ant Bennie.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm giving him a four purely because he's turned his back on goal, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He's half asleep. He's 2 yards off the man in the, inside the box, and he's turned his back. He's not cowardly, but it's just, yeah, it's just poor. You take one for the team there, let it hit you in the face, and it goes out for a corner.
You do have to start wondering with Ogbeni coming to us. Yes, we know he wasn't fit at Ipswich, but it's starting to look like there might be another reason he's not near Ipswich's first team.
Yeah, he just doesn't look. He doesn't look sharp at all. I mean,
Not very good.
he's getting the ball wide in the second half, and you're thinking, go on, knock it past Giles, take it past
Yeah,
him. You've got
have
him
a
for
run, yeah.
pace all day. But it's none of it. And I
No.
appreciate there's not much in the box, but a couple of times he got to the byline, he crossed it out of play or over hit it or straight into the keeper's hands, and you're thinking, this is an ex-Premier League footballer.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So, Hamer and O'Hare, again, fives. Neither of them affected the game. But, yeah, they've not done much. And Campbell, likewise, it sounds lazy, this, but again, five. He's not really done much wrong. He showed a couple of all right touches in the first half. He should have had a penalty. But, again, I'm going to keep saying it until he is fit. Him and Hamer, neither of them look fit.
Yeah, I'll agree with you that neither look fit, but I am going to disagree with your rating for O'Hare and Aimer. See, I thought O'Hare was worse than a five. I'd have given him a four or a three. I thought he did absolutely nothing, O'Hare, on Saturday, to the point where it was just O'Hare falling down a lot, not holding the ball up, not creating anything. And I like Callum O'Hare. I think he's busy and he's a good runner and he's got a great engine and he's always available. I know he had the bad injury at Coventry, but otherwise, for us, he's rarely injured, is he?
Yeah.
But I just thought he was diabolical on Saturday. He was appalling. Our worst player.
It wasn't great, but you can't put that he's done anything worse than a lot of the others. He did a couple of all right fancy flicks, but so I've gone through the 11. Now I'm going to go through three of the subs that came on. So Tom Davies and Danny Ings on the 63rd minute, both of them came on, and that's when I think we didn't kick on as such because we did. It wasn't backs to the wall, Hull, Alamo, but we stepped up a bit. Davies was looking and getting up, picking up the ball, sitting deep. It allowed Peck to go forward more. Sorry, it allowed Matos to go forward more, and it brought people into play. And it also, Danny Ings was in there, and he was positive. He was running in behind. He was running channels, making runs, which Campbell isn't doing.
But
So it goes back to that fitness and the lazy for me of Campbell.
see, but I thought Campbell looked a little bit better Saturday. Again, I agree with you, he doesn't look fit. But I thought his running was better this time and he was busier. But for me, I just think when O'Hare was failing like he was and Hamer was just trying to score and create something, it was like the at times last season, wasn't it? When we're not doing anything, let's give
Just
it to Gus
forcing it,
and
yeah.
yeah, let's hope Gus can force it. Which is this is nothing new with United though for a couple of years because under Heckingbottom, if you remember, it was give it to Ndai and let him force something through. And if that didn't happen, we kind of laboured a little bit. And it feels like we're relying on a bit of magic from a couple of players now to get us through games. But I personally felt that Campbell played a little bit better than what he has been.
Yeah, but you're saying that Campbell's made these a couple of extra runs and stuff, which he may well have done. And I said he was okay the first half, showed a few nice touches and stuff. However, making a run that affects the game is something completely different to just making a run. isn't
No,
it? And Ings came on and he's turning centre halves. He's direct. He wins us the penalty. Campbell should square it to him later on in the game. And he's in when he's when they're in behind and you don't pick him out to Ings. And then obviously your other sub is Burrows. And yeah, we all know what happened there.
I mean, Cannon and Barry
I've had
both
this
came on,
discussion
didn't they?
with yeah, I've had this but again, did you notice Cannon or Barry come on?
No, not at all. Not at all. I think that's why I picked them out because they were so unnoticeable, weren't they, in their appearance. Sorry, you said you were talking to someone about something.
Yeah, so talking to a friend of the pod, Mr. Starbuck,
Oh, yeah.
about how why McCallum played and Burrows just needed taking out of the team. And
Yeah, he did.
again, it adds to the argument that he shouldn't take the penalty because he needed taking out of the team for confidence reasons. However, he does have to take the penalty, in my opinion. So, yeah, I just didn't. Overall, at the end of the game, I was fuming because the
Oh,
penalty
you were.
miss, it's raw, and I spoke to you straight away and I said it's not good enough. We've not done enough, blah blah blah. But then when you've got time to reflect and you look back, probably an hour later, I think I spoke to you and I said they should have won that, shouldn't they, really?
Oh,
But
yeah.
hold on. See, this is what's annoying me. We've played probably nobody deep, nobody really good. We've played Southampton who were okay, and we've played Ipswich who were okay, but they've all beaten poor sides.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They have. You're absolutely right. And I really, when you look back on it, if you're being glass half full, which I know is hard for you because the glass is usually empty, if not half empty, really, United weren't far off a 9-point week because we played okay against Southampton. You know, we made a silly mistake for their first goal, and then we allowed Stewart too much pace to let him rifle one in. And we had the chances to beat Southampton. And then the whole game, as Wilder said, United beat themselves. We should have won. And it could have suddenly been a it could have been a 9-point week. You know, they weren't a million miles
Yeah,
away
and
from it.
the thing that's really irks you, no, the thing that really irks you on there is the fact that if Burrows scores that penalty, you can define that and let's say that's our turning point now. We kick on from here.
Yeah,
Instead, we've gone
agreed.
off for 2 weeks international break, feeling sorry for ourselves.
Yep, absolutely. You're right there. So you've mentioned it, which is a nice little link for us there. So that does take us on to the international break. I assume you're going to be watching the England matches over the international break, are you, Johnny?
No, there's a program on Aardvark, so I'm going to watch instead.
Ah,
I
fair.
honestly, I have zero interest in international football for these qualifiers, and yeah, it's you're in the boys' club, aren't you, to get selected? It's not, people aren't selected on form, have they?
Don't, hey, look, I couldn't even tell you who was in the England squad. So,
Well, how does Jordan Henderson keep getting picked?
well, again,
Years, not just this season, for years.
well, fortunately, this is the Sheffield United podcast and not the England one. So we don't have to delve too deep into that, do we? But
Yeah,
no,
should have
same
done.
as you, Johnny. I'm not going to watch that. Although I am off to the grand final this weekend with friend of the pod, Sean Needham, to watch some rugby league instead. So, as it's the international window, because I don't think United players are going to be at the grand final drinking beer, what do you think are the priorities for the team during this couple of weeks? Now, we put it out on Twitter or X or whatever it's called these days. As someone said, team building, focus on developing cohesion, get some expectations into the players again. Friend of the pod, Josh Timms, said fitness, fitness, and more fitness. It's a valid point, but how fit can you get in 2 weeks? And then Daryl Ball, friend of the pod, said therapy. You might not be far wrong. You're the manager, Johnny. What are your priorities for the 2 weeks?
Yeah, all of what's just been mentioned, really. Some fitness in there, some reminding the players that they're decent players and they should be winning these games of football. I mean, I see a lot of flack for Wilder because we've all expected him to come in and hit the ground running, but these players have got to take some responsibility. You don't turn into a bad player overnight,
No.
so you've got to take some responsibility. Fitness is key. I've said to you in every game this season, we don't look fit. Every single game. And yeah, I would be playing a couple of behind closed doors friendlies, which I actually think they will. So just to
You
get
reckon?
some cohesion on pitch and get a bit of confidence back, yeah.
I mean, I do agree they don't look fit, but I know I sounded like I was being facetious earlier. It is a legitimate question. How fit can you get in 2 weeks?
Fitter.
You can, well, to be fitter, won't it? I suppose it's we're suddenly not going to turn overnight into absolute running beasts, are we? But you're right,
No,
we
you're
can get
not. But
fitter.
get some minutes into Danny Ings for closed doors games. Get some minutes into Tom Davies, manage him, Ben Mee, Ogbeni. Get them all up to speed because they've had 3 weeks now. So all three of them need to be stepping up to getting close because Ings has got to start when we come back. That game against Watford, I fully expect Danny Ings to be starting.
Well, if I mean, we're jumping ahead slightly, but if Ings is to start, do you go to two up top or do you let Ings play on his own?
Your option for me is if you go to the two.
Yep.
You either go back to 4-4-2, and
I'm not
play.
feeling that.
What do you do? Because he keeps saying that Hamer's affecting his best positions out wide on the left, but
I
he's
don't know if
not.
it is.
He won player of the season at Championship last year there.
Yeah, but you've got to remember that award's decided in February when United were top at league and Aimer was playing okay. I mean, I still, while I get, you know, he's playing left, it felt at times like last season like we weren't actually playing anyone on the left because
Yeah, he
Aimer was
was what
inside that left
an
channel, wasn't he?
inside forward sort of thing, wasn't he?
Yeah. So why can you not just play Aimer in a free role behind two strikers?
One reason, simply, at the minute, he's not fit.
Oh, yeah.
If you're playing in that free role behind two strikers, you've still got to put some hard work in, haven't you? And
Well,
they can't. So yeah, the options are a 4-4-2, or you drop Callum O'Hare and play a 3-5-2 or a 5-3-2 when we're out of possession.
See, I personally would go for that one and drop O'Hare. I think while I do like Callum O'Hare and I like his work rate and I like the fact he's always available, I think there's been a couple of poor games in a row now. So I don't think he could complain if he's dropped. I'd like to see Campbell and Ings have a run together, or I know you're not going to like it, Campbell and Cannon.
No,
Go on.
it can't happen. What have you seen that he deserves a run inside?
Nothing.
I
Nothing.
appreciate we've got nothing else, and I keep going back to it. McBurnie, Kiefer Moore, we haven't got that focal point up top, have we?
Well, I know, but
If
I
you've
know.
got that focal point up top, it allows you to get further up the pitch by 15 yards in your transitions, so you can pump. You can play the ball up top and hold it, and it brings people into play, don't they?
They do. And I suppose last
Who
season.
holds up the ball now and brings anybody into play?
Well, we haven't got anyone that does that at the minute,
The
have we?
ball doesn't stick when it goes forward, does it? Because Campbell's not
No.
making a run,
No.
or it's not. It has to be played directly to his feet, and it's not there. So I think January is going to be massive in terms of getting a big lad up top.
Well, I think January will be interesting because I think there'll be quite a few get moved out. I think there'll be a few loans cancelled off. I can see Barry going back. Samari won't surprise me. Bindon's done. I don't know whether United will. I've heard rumours about breaking the bank to get Suter in, which would be great. But again, I don't think that solves all the problems. We need a striker.
No, your issue is if you bring Harry Suter and his fitness.
Well, again, yeah, it's another one, isn't it? I mean, Daryl Bawls mentioned therapy for the players. I do wonder whether we need to go down the Mike Bassett route of doing some positive channeling. You know, we're better than Watford. We're better than Watford. We're better than Watford. Or get maybe Tom Cannon inside a giant ball like Rufus Smalls to learn to become the ball. Who knows? Who knows? There might be a way forward, but seriously, there is a mentality issue, isn't there, at the minute with the players? You know, it feels a lot like it did in that Premier League season where we concede a goal and then we haven't got the self-belief to get ourselves back over the line. What do you reckon?
Yeah, and it's starting to divide the fan base again already. Nowhere near as much as obviously sellers ain't sell, but
Yeah.
in terms of people saying, "Well, it's no different now, Al, is it?" If you're saying it's no different, then it's a throwaway, lazy comment
It
because it
is.
is different. The
All
players
right.
are trying harder.
They are.
They're not fit, and we're toothless up top still. The big moments and the big players aren't performing
Yeah.
to the levels that they have done.
Yep.
And the last one, I know it's an easy thing to say, but we're not having the luck this year, are we? Not we've
No.
had like this.
No, but I think you and I said it, and it was the pinch that mentioned it at the end of last season. You know, United got 92 points. We could easily have got 75 last season, and it'd have still been an okay season because some of those games were they were so fine margin where the luck just went our way, or other teams didn't have the rub of the green, or Gus Aimer did something ridiculous, or so did Tyrese Campbell. You know, and this year, that's just not worked, has it?
No.
So we've got another week or so off, and that takes us to Watford. What do you reckon, Johnny, for Watford? What's your prediction?
So obviously it's Wednesday night now, and Watford has sacked their manager today, I believe,
Yep.
and brought back Javi Garcia,
Good manager.
who I believe took him to Premier League, didn't he?
Yeah, good manager.
And then
Good manager.
did they sack him once he took him up?
That's
So they're an
Watford.
absolute joker of a club, let's be honest. But I think I've said it before when Wilder came back for the Charlton game, we couldn't ask for a better home game. But I think the Watford game before they sack him was the perfect home game. Now
Yep.
they've sacked him, it adds an extra layer of complication to it. But
Mm.
it is big boy pants time now. Let's do it and let's win the game, because if we don't, the expectations of the season will just plummet to aim to finish top half. And there's many people saying that we're in a relegation fight, and it would be hard to get out of if we don't start picking up these points in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think you're totally right there, Johnny. It's hard to predict at the minute. I mean, I said we'd beat Hull and we lost, and that serves me right for putting United on the accumulator. Remember, if you do gamble responsibly.
Yeah, I said I did say 1-1 for the whole game, and Burrows managed to shaft me. So,
Yeah, I do. I just think they need. I mean, it's obvious that they need to win. Because then you do, if we don't, you do have to start asking the question, is this a relegation battle? And everyone said it about Luton that they wouldn't go down and they were too good to go down and they did. And now they're 11th in League One and they've just sacked Matt Blomfield.
I said to Lee Starbuck the other day that just got that niggling feeling. It's like the year we went down under Well, they sacked Blackwell at the start, then Speed comes in, and Mickey Adams gets the job. The squad was good enough to stay up that year, should be staying up, and went down at a whimper, didn't they?
Well, it was until Mickey Adams decided to sign Neil Collins and Doyle and all that lot, and
Yeah.
yeah, it kind of unraveled a little bit then. But still, I mean, I remember that night at Scunthorpe. Oof, oof, yeah. Don't want to go back there again anytime soon. Yeah, I think at the end of the day, we both said it. They've got to win. They've just got to beat Watford. If I was to stick my neck out, I'd say they do. It's 1-0 and it's scrappy and horrible. But I'll take that now. I'll take that. You know, we just need substance, not style. Really, don't we? So, have you got anything else you want to add, Johnny, before we let Mr. Needham take over?
No, just the fact that I need us to have a game tomorrow to get it out of my system because it gets you down, doesn't it?
It
It gets you
does.
down. Season ticket for 28 years, like yourself, and it's just, yeah, it's what you live and breathe into, and it gets you down. So.
It does, it does, it does. And on that miserable note, I've been Matt. He's been Johnny. I'm going to hand us over to Sean to play us out. And again, it's just stay up, Blades.
Mike.
Rock, go, rock, go. Rock, freak, don't stop, rock, go, rock, go.